We'll be speaking this morning out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am be bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Minister to us with the power of your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, God wants to bless us. Glory. I am excited about the future events in the church. Mark your calendars, the 23rd of March. From 2 to 4, we'll be having our Easter celebration out here beside the church. We'll have inflatables. And we've got 5,000 Easter eggs to be distributed among the young kids that are going to pick them up. And they're going to be distributed by air. So tell everybody we'll have popcorn, snow cones. Unless he drops a valve, there's going to be a helicopter fly over and drop the eggs for us. So I presently have 5,000 eggs in my office with candy in them. Hopefully most of them's going to make it to the field with the candy still in them. Glory. March 23rd. That's the first thing I said. Amen. Glory. March 23rd from 2 to 4. Amen. Also, how many of you enjoyed last weekend, last Sunday morning, Sunday night? Brother Curtis has agreed to come back and preach for us in April, the 28th through the 1st of May. He will be here in a Sunday through Wednesday revival. I actually spoke to him about it before he left. He called me the next day, and we played phone tag for a day. And finally, he said, the only thing I have open is the last week. And I said, that was the one I was kind of wanting you to come on, because that would be a good time for you to be here. He said, that's all I got open, so I guess I'm coming. I said, well, I'm looking forward to it. But he will be with us. He will be back from China at that time. So he's going to be back having a great time with us, and we're looking forward to that. Amen? Glory. Amen. I see some of you right now calculating. Inevitably, somebody's going to go, that's not a good time. It ain't never. I've evangelized for 35 years. I went to a church where everybody thought it was a good time. I remember one guy got up and told the church it was a bad time for revival. We had 8 people got saved that morning to start the revival. That afternoon, a member of the pastor's council had a heart attack and died. We called off service that Sunday night. They had this funeral there at the church on Monday. His wife walked up to the pastor at the funeral and said, the last thing my husband said was this was a move of God and we didn't need to stop it. So with Wednesday night, you start that revival back up. And that other man's going, oh, no, we're not going to do that. And the pastor said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the lady said, if you don't do it, I'll invite him to come to my house. My husband's not going to die in vain. You know, we went back to start revival 2.5 weeks later. 30-something people been filled with the Holy Ghost. And we baptized 20-something in water, including that fellow that said it wasn't time for revival because he admitted he was backslid. Glory. Amen. Now, I'm not saying if it's not time for you that week, you backslid. I'm just telling you, just work it out because you can't never make a great time. Everybody can't be happy, but we do the best we can. But I believe God's going to minister to us that week. We're going to hear great preaching. I guarantee you that. Amen. And I believe in God to move in us. And I'll be honest with you, church, when the word goes forth from people that have studied the word all their life and prayed, we're going to see something happen. Amen? Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning about the weapons of our warfare. There's a lot being said today about spiritual warfare. I'm getting phone calls about it. Folks talking about, I need to engage in spiritual warfare. Can I tell you something, church? God didn't call you to run around looking for demons and fight with them. We got folks like, I'm going to go run some demons down and whoop them. I wish you'd catch one or two. Then you'd find out what the sons of Sceva found out when they jumped on some. They ended up running down the road naked when the demons got through with them. And they better be glad that's all that happened to them. Glory. I'll be honest with you, church. The fallen angels, one angel killed 185,000 men in the Bible. So I hope you don't figure you're going to take one of them on. Nod your head. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not, no. You need to understand. David was sitting there looking at the enemy, knew he was outnumbered, and he made a very great statement that we in the church need to understand. The battle is not mine, it is the Lord's. God never intended me to attack demons and to go after them, but in him I'm going to live, and in him I'm going to move, and in him I'm going to have my being, and by him I am going to be a conqueror. Amen. When I was a kid, I used to hate to get caught in the wrong place at the right time. If my brothers was with me, I would finna get whooped. But you let my sister show up. And all of a sudden, I got new feathers. And I got new power. And I got real mouthy. Because I knew she wasn't going to let them whoop me. You know what, church? As a Christian, I need to understand, if I am in the will of God, the angels of the Lord have put a hedge around me. Satan cannot come through that hedge to get to me. If he does, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It is not by my might nor by my power that I overcome anything, but it is by his spirit that we are conquerors. And we need to understand, evil is in this world. We are here to do something to Satan. And the greatest spiritual warfare the church could have is lost souls. If we could quit worrying about what the devil's doing and get busy doing something for God, we'll fight a spiritual warfare that'll turn this world upside down. Could you say amen? Glory. Amen. I have a friend wrote a song years ago called Warrior for the Lord. The second verse said, my alarm clock rings and the demons scream, oh Lord, he's up again. Glory. I want that to be me. I want them worried about what I'm going to be doing the next day. I'm not worried about them. I don't care what Satan's up to. I'm not trying to figure him out. I really don't care. What I want to do is reach lost souls for the kingdom of God. Amen. I can see Satan working every day. 9/11, we saw satanic power in a great way when those towers came down and people died and the conspiracy that brought that tower down. We see it on our street corners with the drug pushers and the things that are going on. But can I tell you, Satan operates in the church through subtle little things of preachers preaching stuff that's not real. Spirits, you know, twisted the scripture just enough to make you believe that what they're telling you is the truth. Glory. Come on, church, not yet. We got them on TV. While they make you think that if you ain't a millionaire, you're not a Christian. I got to remind them, the head of this group didn't even have a place to be buried. Hello? Oh, and then they'll tell you, well, you got to sin every day. And if you don't sin every day, well, you're not alive. I got news for you, church. God intended man to live without all this. He intended man to live in peace, in joy, and in power. And let me tell you something, God has always kept his plan. And if we get where we need to be with God, that plan is going to still be fulfilled in man. Could you say amen? Somebody made the statement, well, if Adam hadn't sinned and Eve hadn't sinned, they'd still be in the garden. That is technically true, but they were never supposed to stay where they were. The Bible said they were to tend the garden and subdue the land. They were to take the whole world for the kingdom's sake. And you know what? God never intended us to stay in the church. He intends us to tend this garden and then subdue the land and do the work. And if we get close enough to God, I believe we can live in peace. We can live in joy. We can live in authority in this world. We don't have to be scared every time we turn around that Satan's going to jump out behind a corner and snatch us down, tear us up. He can live with a power and a knowledge that, hey, my God's on my side. I'm going to win. Could you say amen? Oh, I might lose some battles, but I done read the last book. Sooner or later, the war's going to be over, and we're going to win. Glory. Listen, the problem we have, it hides itself sometimes. You know, people in the church who tell you they love you and all they're doing is trying to build a political base so they can do something. Hello? Don't look at me like some of y'all looking at me. Preachers who stand up and say they're gospel preachers, but they never open a Bible. And the only time they quote scripture is when it backs up what they're saying. Come on. And the reality is, if you study the scripture, you'll find out the spirit of the Antichrist will begin in the church. And who is that? Preachers who have people around them, who the Bible said in the last days people would heap unto them teachers having itching ears, only hearing what they want to hear. You know, the other day I was watching a video of a man speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast. You know what his first words were? I know before I get through today I'm going to offend some of you, including you. And he pointed at the president. He said, because y'all came here to be offended. Hello? I don't know why in America we come to the place where it's all got to be said the way we want to, or we don't like it. How do you ever learn something unless you listen to something that's not in the same direction you already believe? Oh, come on, church, smile. Some of y'all look at me like, this preacher's serious this morning. I am, because I think it's time this church begin to develop a strategy of warfare to fight against the enemy. And I'm not going to run around here trying to figure out what Satan's going to do. I'm ready to start winning souls. I'm ready to start reaching lost people, because if I start taking souls down, it's going to mess up his kingdom, because that's his whole reason for being here, is to try to keep us from reaching a lost and dying world with the gospel. He wants to take every one of us to an eternity without God. Come on, church. Amen. Well, preacher, I tell you, well, you know, the first thing you got to realize is that there's some statements here that talks about what we're going to have. First of all, why is life such a battle? Because evil is there, and the mastermind of evil is still around, and he makes it hard. Secondly, is it supposed to be like this? No. God would prefer we live in power and authority. The problem is, though God has given us the very tools to be overcomers, we spend all our time trying to figure out another way. Listen, on one side, if you deal with this, you got a ditch. It's full of people with silly superstitions. I actually had somebody tell me one time I was going to preach on Satan, and the title of my message was, The Greatest Imposter the World Ever Knew. Satan has always been a liar. He's always tried to act like he was God. He is nothing but an imposter, yet we in the church are so afraid of him that if he even goes boo, most of us just have a heart attack and die. Glory. Then we got others talking, I'm going looking for Satan, and you've never met him. You've never actually been in his presence. Come on, church. Why would Satan waste his time with you when he don't have to get you not to pray because you never pray? He don't have to get you quit reading the Bible because you never read your Bible. So why would he confront you? I'm going to make a statement blow most of your mind, but 99% of the people in the church will never come face to face with Satan because he doesn't have to come face to face with them. He's looking for that group who's really praying and reaching out, and that's the ones he's going to go after. Other than that, he'll send a little wimp demon to your house and mess up your whole day. Glory. I'm glad somebody said amen. I'm finna have to run that front row and amen myself, and it'll take a lot longer. I'll get tired and breathing hard and have to stop and get my breath, and y'all be better off if I just hear every once in a while amen or something. Can't even inspire the front row. Glory. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We need to understand something. When these things are going on, we need to prepare ourselves for warfare. We need to get ready. Amen. Listen, Jesus informs us about the battle. And he tells us certain things, like there's victory for us if we hold on to him. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, you say, preacher, if I live right and I'm not ever going to have a problem, no. But you can enjoy the ride even when it's bad. Glory. John 17, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that ye might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them the word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. And as thou sent me into the world, even so have I I also sent them into the world. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He said, look, I know it ain't going to be easy, but if you'll trust me and you'll live for me, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can still have a peace that passes all understanding. You can have a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You can live with the glory of God moving in your life. Could you say amen? I have learned through the years things that I have gone through that has brought me to where I am. I got to admit, when the doctors told my wife she had cancer, I wasn't the happiest camper in the world. I lost it. I was like everybody else. I was upset with him. Well, I got so mad, I'd done it throwing rocks off in the river one afternoon. If God had been in the water, I'd have stoned him. Don't look at me like that. Some of y'all have had the same problem. You just had other things you was throwing at him. I'm in a plane at 50,000 feet headed across the Midwest, sitting in a seat in the back drinking coffee, and the Lord spoke to me and said, why don't you quit whining? It's not why are you where you are. It is how you're going to deal with it. And if you'll learn to deal with it, it won't be so bad. Hello? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Suddenly I realized all the years I've been preaching, I tell people how to handle problems, how to handle trouble, how to handle adversity. And when adversity come my way, I didn't know how to handle it. I lost it. My wife even looked at me. She said, I'm handling this better than you are. And she was. Because I felt like God had let me down. And to be honest with you, I was ready to hang it up and call it quits. But I want to tell you something. I've got a God who, in the midst of all your problems, if you'll hang on, can give you a peace that passes all understanding, a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. But we've got to understand, we don't fight this thing worried about what's going to happen. We fight knowing victory is mine. Victory is mine. In him I have overcome the world. Could you say amen? Glory. We don't fight battles like everybody else. You try to fight on. Have you ever noticed you get somebody wants to fight with you, they like to pick the weapons? That used to be the thing. Whoever was wanting to fight, one of them would pick the weapons. He'd always try to pick a weapon nobody else was good at. And you ever seen Quigley down under? He was real good with that rifle. Fella didn't think he could shoot a side gun because he kept telling me he didn't care for him. So he got him in a contest and he go to draw. Of course, he outdraw all three of them and killed them. The guy looked at him and said, I thought you couldn't use a handgun. He said, never said I couldn't use, just said I didn't like them. Glory. Hello? We got Christians that think if they shout hard enough, the devil will get scared. Can I tell you, some of you, the devil looks at you shouting and goes, And I got Bible for this. Eli's boys stole the Ark of the Covenant, brought it into camp, and the Jews went crazy because the glory of God they thought was with them. But God didn't send the Ark, so the glory wasn't there. And they were shouting and didn't know it. You know, we got folks in church that do that. They shout and think it's God because they're shouting, and God may not be in the shout. It may just be you've been doing that. Have you ever noticed we get singing certain songs and some folks going to shout because that's their song? I've had people tell me, say, sing such and such. I really get happy when that happens. Church, listen. I had people looking at me a while ago going, you're going to kill the spirit. If me showing a video and taking up an offering kills the spirit wasn't ever here to begin with. Come on, church. Nod your head. Some of y'all need to understand that just because you shout don't mean there's anything to it. Because they went to shout when the ark got there. What happened? One of them old Hebrews, one of them old guys in the other camp, one of them Philistines turned to the other guy and said, hey, y'all ain't got to be worried about it. That's not what I've heard in the past. He said, now you hear that one, you need to run. But said, what they got going over there ain't nothing but emotions. We fist to swam out. And what'd they do? They wore them out. Took the Ark of the Covenant captive. Hello? That'd be a good sermon. No clout in your shout. I have to work on that. Glory. Amen. But we actually have people think, well, if I get happy enough. I was preaching revival up near Mentone one time. This poor lady come every night, and she'd come to the altar. You'd walk by, and she'd, woo! And she'd shake her bobby pins out. She'd come every night like that. And left the same way, went through the same life. Never changed. She come one night, and instead of walking by her, I grabbed her hand so she couldn't spin and hit her on the head. She went out in the spirit, fell out, laid there for about an hour, got up, went to the altar, and started confessing all kind of stuff. Glory. not to me, but to the pastor. And she said, you know, all them times I thought it was God. And I was living like a heathen. He'd come down here shouting. And I suddenly realized when the Holy Ghost hit me a while ago, I wasn't where I need to be. Can I tell you, church, sometimes we need to understand spiritual warfare starts when we get us where we need to be and admit that we're not where we need to be. And when God gets a hold of us and pulls us in that direction, notice what he said. He tells us about the weapons we're going to use. Not only are we going to have victory, notice this. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So, preacher, what are you talking about? You know, people get mad down here. They'll go get them a lawyer, sue somebody. We'll fight battles the fleshly way. Paul said, but we don't fight battles in the flesh because we're not of the flesh. See, if you start fighting by the weapons the enemy wants you to fight with, he's got you because he knows those weapons. But if you start fighting spiritually, he can't handle spiritual warfare because he can't handle spirituality because he can't handle one that's going to be bringing the victory. Come on, church. Amen. Any of y'all remember a guy named Lester Summerall? Hey, that's a great man of God. Old fellow, but he was a preacher. Man, that guy, more than that, he was a prayer. And his son started a church in Korea, and he was getting big, and he was going to build a building, and he went to the bank to borrow money. They wouldn't loan him money. Told me, well, I'm going to let him have the money because they didn't want his kind of church in their country. He went to the government, and the government agreed. We're not going to do it. They had a big meeting, told him no. He called his dad. He said, Dad, I want to get them in the world court. Who do I need to call? He said, you call the right person, son. I'll be there next week. He showed up. Now, they didn't really know who Lester Summerall's son was, but they knew who Lester Summerall was. And he walked out in the middle of the street in front of the bank, and he's got the bank guy there, and they're having a big meeting. And he raised his hand. He said, God, you want to build it in this country. You want the gospel to be preached by my son. I believe now you can reach in there and change every one of those men, if not kill them all and replace them with somebody that'll listen. One of the government officials was standing there listening. He said, hey, he's got my vote. Just be quiet. Glory. The bank turned around and said, how much money did you say you needed? And his son said, why are you doing this? He said, well, we don't know you, but we know him. And when he prays, things happen, and we ain't taking no chances. You got the money. You can build your building. The government said it's okay. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That is what this world needs to see, is a God that can move mountains, a God that can change things. I don't know about you, but the God I serve is that kind of God. He can take care of you when nobody else can. Could you say amen? People that go with me on missions trips, they'll come back and they're awed by the fact that I'm not afraid. I ought to be. But I mean, when I'm in Honduras, I walk down the street. I don't figure nobody's going to rob me. I ain't got nothing, so if they want it, they can have what I got. But, hello? I'll be down there doing something, talking to people, trying to get something. We'd be in a village, and I'd be walking around handing lollipops out to people. I walked up, handed one to a guy on a bicycle, and he went back to his house and got his shotgun and came back. I didn't know he was mad. I started out to him. And the interpreter grabbed me and said, come on, go. He's talking about shooting somebody. I was walking up to him, you know, and he's talking about shooting. I didn't know. Ignorance is bliss. Glory. I was walking out there with another lollipop telling him God loved him. And before I left, I actually passed it to him, and he stood there, and he looked at me. And they put all the women in a van, and we finished giving out the toys, and we got in the van. We left. When we left, he was still sitting there watching us with this weird look on his face. Never shot nobody, never cocked a gun. Glory. So I said, preacher, you could be dead. Yeah, but who cares? I'm going to heaven. Free to make sure she knows where my insurance papers are before I leave. Glory. Amen. I went to Romania. We're in Transylvania, and I got a guy afraid to go out at night because it's a full moon. Anybody know what happened on a full moon in Transylvania? Nothing. He was like, it's a full moon. I said, I'm going to get a Coke. You don't need to go over there. If I could have found some ketchup, put it on my neck, I could have gave that guy a heart attack. We went to the village where Vladimir the pastor was raised, and he didn't want to get out of the van. And I'm walking around the village looking, and Brother Tim Hill was with us. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to find a bat. He said, why? I said, if I can get a bat loose from one of them corners low enough I can reach him, I'm going to go put it in that van with him. He said, he'll die. I said, yeah. He said, he started looking. He said, hey, guys, see if y'all can find a bat. Street's going to put it in the glory. I can inspire people sometimes. Oh, he may have been a general official, but he was going to help me. Glory. It wasn't that I wasn't afraid of what might happen. I knew who I was with. And I'm still struggling because when I was in Romania, we were still going through the cancer deal. We weren't sure how it was going to turn out. And on Sunday morning, I end up at a church, and this little old lady gives me a word of prophecy. Halfway around the world, and you want to tell me you can handle it in the flesh? I've got a God that shows you that he's more than just what you can see and hear. This little old lady that knows nothing about what's going on walks up and said, the one beside you will be okay. There'll be tragedy in your life, but the one beside you will be okay. I came home, God released her. The doctors released her. No cancer. She's cancer-free. No radiation. No chemo. My mom died in December. That was a tragedy. She lived in our house. March of that year, she's in the hospital having a hysterectomy from ovarian cancer. The doctor walks out and he said, Mr. Stroop, I'll be honest with you. What I took out of her today don't look like cancer, but everything says it was. But said, I just believe maybe God got up there and took care of things before I went in to take it out. But we went ahead and removed it just to be sure. But he said, I'll be surprised if she has to have any chemo or radiation. We went back to the oncologist. He walks in, looked over. He said, preacher, would y'all quit teasing me? I can't make no money telling y'all to leave. Glory. Of course, he laughed. He said, I wish all my patients were like y'all. Amen. But when the doctor told me that, I walked in the room, looked at my mother-in-law, and said, the little old lady of Romania, halfway around the world, knew exactly what was going to happen, and my God was giving me a voice. Church, that's the kind of stuff we need to hang on. We don't need to fight in the flesh, but if we'll get in the spirit, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Could you say amen? Glory. You say, preacher, are you sure? Matthew 10:16, behold, I send forth you as sheep in the midst of wolves. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? God said, I'm going to send you for, notice this. I'm going to send you into a whole pack of wolves. You're one sheep, not a bunch of sheep, but one sheep. You're going to go through that pack of wolves. Now, that tells me a couple of things about God I need to think about. Number one, he's crazy. Or he knows something I don't know. Now, I don't think God's crazy, so I figure the second statement's correct. He knows something I don't know. And that is, I've got nothing to worry about if the wolves are around me, if he is in between me and them. Hello? Alex may remember this, but we were in Jerusalem. We was walking around, the soldier standing leaning against the wall. We walked by him, and the Muslims were praying. And we looked at him and said, hey, don't that bother you? He looked around a minute. You got to understand, when the Jewish soldiers walk what they call duty, whatever they call it, they're by themselves. They ain't a group of them going through. They're just walking through. And everybody in that area is Palestinian, Muslim. They reach up and tap his thing on the shoulder every so often. If they don't, a bunch of troops will come to find them. They walk around with a gun set on, ready to fire. It's not the safety's off, the finger's on the trigger. And they're walking around like that. And he's just standing there leaning against the wall, and all these people are praying. And I know some of y'all are going to get upset, but they're praying for him to die and for me to die. That's why I ain't real happy when they start praying. Because the first thing they pray is the death of every Jew and every heathen. And says, I'm not a Muslim, I'm a heathen. And they're over there praying that, and I walked by him, and so it was me or one of the guys that looked up and said, hey, don't that bother you? And he looked around at me, and he said, who's listening? Never cracked a grin, never said nothing, and we were like, hey, that's all right. You got to believe their God can't hear anything if your God's the one you're dependent on when you're outnumbered 13 to 1. Can I tell you, honey, what he basically was saying is he understood what David understood. The battle is not mine, it is God's. I don't have to worry if all hell comes against me because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't have to worry because he said, I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell will not overcome. are coming will not take it down. And Satan himself cannot come against a child of God who is operating in the power and the anointing and the Spirit of Almighty God. Glory. I'm not going to finish this today. I love it. You can't write this, you know it. I may get a job as a Christian comedian. Glory. The reality is that many of us today are fighting battles on the enemy's terms. If we begin to fight on God's terms, God will then allow us to win out. I joke about it when I talk about all the problems I've had since I got here. As far as my physical stuff's concerned, I'm enjoying being a pastor. Undoubtedly, I was cut out for this. I loved what I did as an evangelist. But I don't know that I'd ever go back, because I enjoy the interaction with people, and I never thought I would. I enjoy getting up in the morning and running all day long, visiting people and praying with folks and talking to people and ministering. See, y'all don't understand. Somebody, well, I know you're so busy, I won't call you, but you may be taking out some of my life because this is what I do. I'm not here because I'm going to get paid. I was getting paid before I came here. And somehow God will figure out a way to get me paid if I have to leave here. I'm just that crazy. But I enjoy doing what I do. It is my life. And I understand that Satan is going to attack the leader. That's what they do. Now let's face it. He couldn't attack me in certain areas because I was too strong. So he has to try to make me wonder by breaking my health. Now let's face it, church. I've had some pretty tough stuff hit me. Somebody below noticed last week that the reason Brother Brand and I are so close is we are almost like identical twins that were born by different mamas. We think the same way. We live the same way. A lot of what I do, I learned from him. Because all these years we've been friends, he's been a pastor. And he's taught me a lot of stuff. And I'll call him when I need help. But like this week, he has surgery. He could have stayed out, but he's preaching to his people this morning. Because this is his job. This is his life. We were talking and his wife said, "You're not preaching Sunday." He said, "You don't understand. I'm not doing it for the church. I'm doing it for me. When I sat up in that wheelchair, I wasn't doing it to impress y'all. I was doing it because this is my life. This is what I live for. This is what every morning I get up for. And I understand that if I'm going to fight Satan, it's got to be on my terms. And that means I've got to live for God with every ounce of my power and my strength. And I don't care what he throws at me until God's through. I'll be here fighting the battle. I'll keep moving in his glory." Some of you may not understand. My last trip to the oncologist was not good. And I'm sitting there last Sunday, and the pastor walks by, the preacher walks by and said, "The devil's a liar." He has no idea that they told me I couldn't stay gone as long as before because the markers had changed too much. And those of you know what that means, I have a bloodborne type cancer, and when the markers begin to change, it could be coming back. And they said, "You got to come back in for a recheck." And that guy prayed for me last week, and I'm sitting there going, "Yeah, I'm all right now. Glory." Come on, church. He said, "Well, preacher, you didn't tell nobody." It bothered me. I was beginning to wonder, God, what is this all about? And then all of a sudden, God sends a guy who's just preaching a message, and right in the middle of his message, said, "The devil's a lie. You're all right." Hallelujah. Someone said, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm ready to tear up some more territory. I'm ready to see some more people saved. I'm ready to see some more lives changed. I'm ready to try to inspire somebody to realize this world outside is going to die and go to hell if we don't get busy, because it's coming. The Lord's on his way. Come on, church. I was working on this sermon this morning, but I started working on something else too. I'm bad about that. Right in the middle of the sermon, I kicked off and started another sermon about the coming of the Lord that I'll be preaching in the future sometime. Glory. Of course, there's 300-something outlines back there I'm going to be preaching in the future, so I can't go anytime soon. Glory. Either that or Frida have to take up preaching. Glory. They're manuscripts, so, you know, somebody might could take them and do something with them. But the reality is, church, we need to understand the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm not fighting an enemy that's going to fight fair in the flesh, but he can fight any way he wants to in the spirit because he's already defeated. He's already been taken down. And all I have to do is understand that the weapons of my warfare are mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy, to casting down the imaginations that would make me have fear, to give me victory over everything that come against me, but not only me, but everybody that will put their foot in the path and say, God, I'm selling out to you. And you say, I'm not a preacher. Nobody expects you to be a preacher. But if you could be a child of God who moves in the anointing and the power and the grace of God, you can understand that everybody I pass has a potential to be born again and one to the kingdom of God. And every time you win somebody, that's the greatest spiritual warfare you can ever have. Oh, but what about the devils and the demons? Sell out to God. You won't worry about the devils and the demons. You'll understand that God is the one who fights that battle, and in him I have victory and power and glory through the love of God that touches my life. Stand with me all over the house. Would you just raise your hands and just begin to praise him this morning? Father, we love you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Glory. Father, move on us with your grace. Touch us with your power and your spirit. Father, move on us with your love. God, let your glory move in this house today. Minister to us with your love. Father, let your presence touch us. Let your glory just begin to move.